intends for us. Now, here he is talking to the prophet Isaiah, who's predicting the coming of the kingdom, who's predicting the coming of Christ, but still wants to warn the people to get in the position he's there. My daughter-in-law pulled the tooth of our granddaughter's mouth. Well, the tooth's in the mouth. Pulled the tooth after great consternation and crying, and they're both crying and tears, and then she says, "Okay, it's done. Let me go get my pillow, because the tooth fairy is going to come see me tonight." You know, that was the next priority. Got to get the tooth fairy pillow. And there was a great discussion between the two parents as to whether it should be one quarter or two. It ended up being, I think, $5, because it was the first tooth, and it was the first grandchild, you know, that kind of stuff. She's not here. She can't disagree with me. But he says, we've got to make the plans. Failure to plan is planning to fail. Did you ever hear that one before? Now, Joe, I don't know what you all went through when you got this land built and the land divided and all that kind of stuff, but I bet it wasn't easy. Because those of you that were here with us 6 or 7 years ago, as we planned this building, that wasn't easy. You had certain checkoffs you had to do, and your permits and all the things in order. That isn't easy. But it sure makes things work a lot better. Now, we found out at the very last, and some of you were here that day, the fire marshal comes up and knocks on the front door. Says, "Y'all have to leave." "Sir, you have to leave." "And why is that?" You remember why it was? We didn't have a fire plug out front. Nowhere on the plans, nowhere on the permit, nowhere information at all did it say that we need to go out and pay $15,000 for a fire plug out in front to be able to use this building, and anybody else around here who builds after us can use our fire plug without kicking in. That was an obstacle. Joseph. Why didn't you put the fire plug in 20, 30 years ago, Joe? It would have been a lot easier.
We asked him to put one in, and he refused to put one in.
Well, our guys refused to put one in, too. We had to pay for it. Don't you all, any of y'all remember that?
How much did you pay for that?
It was like $14,500, $15,000.
For the one out by the road?
Yeah. And I didn't get a thank you card from any of the neighbors. I was engaged by his sinful greed. I punished him and hid my face in anger, and yet he kept on his wildful ways. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. And I wish I could figure out this thing. Anybody want to get new insurance? I'm getting 4 calls a day. Now's the time to change your health insurance. God does care about the attitudes of his people. He often calls them haughty. "I am the greatest." All these type of incidences about the people who seems to just be about themselves. And a lot of people do want to be about themselves. That is not the Christian way. Now, several of you all have Baptist background. There was a Baptist preacher I was talking to up in Georgetown. And he said, "You know, my group of elders and deacons pray for every time we meet, they'll start out, 'Lord, if you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. I will guide him and restore comfort to him.'" God hasn't given up. Isn't it a great thing that God hasn't given up? Often we give up on situations, but God doesn't. And that's what Isaiah, now remember, he's talking to them in tough times that are going to become tougher. But he keeps wanting to talk about perseverance. I love America. I've got one over here fanning like lickety-split and one right over here putting a sweater on. All of our thermostats have not been calculated the same, has it? "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Chapter 21, verse 20. I marked that one verse in big letters around it. There's no peace for the wicked, but it seems to me like the wicked seems to get everything they want. Are you on a different verse than I'm on? Okay. And they may see that they're giving it their way, but it's usually not. How much money did Father Rockefeller leave behind when he died? And if you read his history, he was not totally a nice guy. Westinghouse, with Tesla, stole all the ideas from Edison. He used it their way. Of course, AC is better than DC anyway. But there's a lot of times people who just seem to be crooked and get away with it. Standard Oil, that's Rockefeller, isn't it? Standard Oil? They just ran over people. There's a lot of things like that went on. But he says, for the wicked there is no peace, God says. Shout it aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. You ever promise a child something? On Monday, if you get a good grade on your spelling test, we're going to have ice cream social or ice cream Sunday on Saturday. Well, come about Saturday when your ball game gets ready to come on. You want to sit down and watch it. And then the child says, Grandma, I'm ready for my ice cream social. We know who's connected, don't we? Read it aloud. Remind them of their sins. And God will spend the next half chapter trying to tell them how to get out of the sins. Now, he uses a word in here in a second that we don't hear a lot about. He says this, they ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have they fasted, they say? Have you not seen it? Why have they humbled ourselves? Have you not noticed it? People are asking God, we've done everything you've asked us to do. We fasted. We went without a period of time without eating. We've been obedient. We made our sacrifices. And God's going to tell them right here. It didn't work. Why didn't it work? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. So when the day should have been a holy day for them, and there were several fasting celebrations and feast type of things that were involved in fasting, they didn't follow it to the end. They just went through the motions. They just pretended they were being holy. And when they're trying to serve others, they just pretended they were doing what they were. Child out playground. Watch it sometimes. He falls down. She falls down. Falls off the slide. It doesn't matter. First thing they do. If nobody saw him do it, he gets back up and plays. If grandma or somebody saw him happen, well, is that not true? They want to make a big scene out of it if they can. Humans are that way all the way. Adults are that way as well. We see that. He says, your fasting is for you. It's not for God. It doesn't please God what you do it. Verse 6. It is not the kind of fasting I've chosen. To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Don't we hear words like that today? Social injustice. Well, that was in a song back in the 60s. You know what I'm talking about? To be a friend. Social injustice. Just look up social injustice. And he talks to people about, it's that way because we cause it to be that way. We allow it to be that way. We don't say, God, let me follow the path you've given to me. Well, I tell you what, they've done caught the guy with the car, but the phone's just not getting out over here. He says to this, if it is not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wander with shelter, when have you seen the naked and to clothe him and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? When your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Does that line sound familiar at all? Wouldn't you share your food with the hungry and provide it for the poor? If it is not, you can turn back with me to the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter, the 35th verse, and we will read this. Matthew 25, 35. You got it there, Norm? Don't meet me. 25, 35 goes this way. I'm going to read 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, my kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." That's like the beginning. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked at me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." This, then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see that?" And we know that whole part, when you did it for somebody else. So Christ is giving the same words that Isaiah was given to say 800 years before. Because a truth is a truth. It doesn't matter which time period it's in. A person that's hungry or lonesome will be hungry or lonesome whether it's now or 10 centuries ago or 10 centuries in the future. And God wants us not to be lonely, not to be hungry, not to be poor in spirit. And if it takes the help of other Christians to get us there, that's just fine. That's why we were brought in. "You will cry for help, and I will say..." And he will say, "Here I am." He's talking, of course, about Jesus. Cry for help, and he says, "Here I am. I'm everything that you need." Do you know, can you guess why this was so difficult and had to be repeated to the Jews multiple times? Hard-headed is a good word, but that doesn't get me where I want to go. What made them hard-headed? They were great competition amongst themselves, more internal fighting than external. But why? Anybody remember the two words that we were hit with about 18 years ago? Shiite and Sunni. They're both Muslims. But they were, and one was more of the Persian Muslims, and the other was more of the Iraqi Muslims. They were Muslims that hate each other because they claimed there was different ways of which imam to follow. That the only righteous one to follow was a direct descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. And the other group said, no, anybody who feels called by Allah can be an imam, can be a leader, so it doesn't matter. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions, probably closer to millions, have been killed over that discrepancy of whether you had to be a direct descendant of Allah. We make a lot of small things to fight over. We really do. Have you ever been to a church congregation as a visit and you spent the whole time? You know what I'm talking about? That is so loud. When my grandmother, mother-in-law would go to her church, she would wear sunglasses because they flashed. Your mother. Same person, my mother-in-law and your mother. Lights would flash. Most people couldn't take that. There's a lot of things that we have disagreements over that are small. We talked last week about King James Bible, the authorized version, versus New International. We found a lot of things to disagree about, none of which pleases God. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. And your night will become more like noonday, and the Lord will always guide you. So there is ways out of our depression and our lost state. And it requires us to do something. Too often, we in life want to be treated like by God or God's house the way we are about everything else. You know, one instant TV dinners, one microwave popcorn, one somebody to bring it to us, and all these type of things. He says it's not that way. Casper the Friendly Ghost, bringing popcorn to the couple, not with that too much. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repair of the broken walls and restore the streets. They were in bad shape, and God said that's not going to last forever. The kingdom will be rebuilt. Now, Jerusalem was rebuilt twice more and then destroyed finally by the Romans in 70 A.D. But he still talks about heaven, doesn't he? He still talks about the new Jerusalem. You can find that in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And it will be coming out of heaven. It will be like a bride beautifully adorned for a church. The church will be a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. And that's what he's got planned. So all this will be rebuilt. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath. Now that's an interesting thing. Keep your feet. Why do you get a term called keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath? We know the Sabbath was the holy day. It was the sixth day. And God rested. But why did you say break? Keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath? Well, like how do you know? Why your feet? All right, wandering in the wrong direction is supposed to be a time of worship and rest and learning. What else? One of you fast computer people, look up the term Sabbath day's journey. You're the only indented you can do it. Sabbath day's journey. It was a law that they could not work on the Sabbath. So they would give them, their food would be cooked the day before or the evening before. All the preps had to be made ahead of time. Let me know if you got it, Norman. Preps ahead of time. But you couldn't just sit in your house because you had to go to the synagogue to worship. So they would give them a certain distance, a certain number of steps. Is it there yet? No.
2,000.
No, huh?
2,000 cubits.
2,000 cubits. A cubic is a foot and a half, so total of 3,000 foot and a half. Well, if you divide 3,000 by 5,280, you there yet?
Yeah, I'm there, but I'm not sure you are.
Thank God for you. A unit of 1,100 double steps or 2,000 cubics. Somebody divide 3,000 feet by 5,280. 5,280 a mile. Divide 3,000 feet by 5,280. Yeah, divided by 5,280. That's all right. Close enough, he says. You're not the one selling the horse. Give me an answer.
Where's the answer?
25 miles. No. 5,280 divided by, into, start out with 3,000 feet. 3,000. Divided by 5,280 equals what? All right, 0.56 of a mile. Just over half a mile. That was the limit that they could walk on a Sabbath day without breaking the Sabbath day rules. So he says, don't let your feet get you involved in that. Don't walk 3/4 of a mile or 5 miles or something like that. Stay within the limits that have been preset for you. That also meant that if your synagogue was more than 0.56 miles away, you would have to spend the Friday night before, ahead of time, at a closer place. They were that specific about their worship, or put more synagogues out there. If you call the Sabbath a delight, the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way, and not doing what we talked about over here, not doing what you please, or speaking idle words. It's all about our attitude. Now, God had made the decision, 5,280 divided by into 3,000, 2,000 meters, 2,000 steps. But that was a rule he made. Well, we've chosen to not honor that because it's Old Testament. But they intentionally would dishonor it because they wanted to have it their way. We go into 59. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. What a thought. You ever heard the old quiz joke? God can do anything? Yes. Good. Can he make an acid so strong that no glass can hold it? God can do anything? Yes. Can he make an acid so strong that no glass could hold it? It would eat up the glass. But how can you make a glass that can hold up anything, but an acid that can eat through anything? The answer is, God can do anything. He just doesn't get bothered with silly things. All right, think about this. Those of you that have been to a wedding, do you go to the wedding and walk up there and see the bride and the groom playing jacks on the floor? Or they got something more serious to do? Priorities. No one calls for justice, no one peels his case with integrity. There's a word you don't hear much about anymore, integrity. Unless it's the name of an insurance company or something like that. Integrity. The next section is about putting people down. You call them cobwebs. Six makes no sense to me. Are you ready? Cobwebs are useless for clothing. Did any of y'all try to make a suit out of cobwebs? I haven't seen that. We go to verse 14. So justice is driven back and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled into the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes the prey. They're picked on. There's a writing in Dennis, you gave me that last Jewish magazine, didn't you? Writing in there about how the churches are now being put down if they still support Israel. And if you've not heard lately about Christians being put down by something, some reason, some cause, some overzealousness we have or whatever, then you're not reading enough stuff because it's out there. And they want to make light of it. So the best way to get something to fail is to make fun of it or the person's doing it. If you tell a person they can't do it, they're going to bust their gut trying to do it. But if you laugh at a person for trying to do something, head goes down. You start shivering or crying. Well, don't make fun of me, they would say. That's how the devil works it out. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. What a sad world that is. And I can make all kind of jokes about Washington, D.C. and the truth not being found, but we're not going to go there today. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that where was no one to intervene. Do we get our help? Is God's arm work salvation? His own righteousness sustained him. Was it not Michelangelo that painted the top of Sistine Chapel? And what's the premier thing? God's up on the top floating, and he's reached out with his finger. Is he not touching man when he's doing that? The birth of the life of man. That God's arm is not too short to reach from heaven down to earth for his children. Now, part of the problem is there was a children's game. Pin the tail on a donkey. You remember that? But every time you got ready to do it, they spun you around in a circle. And you had to try to find the donkey. There's another one where they got that pinata swinging in the air. And you're taking that baseball bat and you're having at it. And if you don't catch it square, it's going to run and move farther. It's a movable target. Well, the devil wants to make us a movable target so he can come after us. God said, I'll protect you. Sixteen? Did y'all have 16 in the film this weekend? 18. That's even better. That's where the target stood still and we attacked a evil that we can do something about. And then the one that gives the money and the ones that fills up the bottles with the and then takes the diapers and all the stuff over, they have helped that situation. So we know about that. Hello, Gary. He saw there was no one and was appalled that there was no one to intervene. You've asked for help, and the help doesn't come. You want to say, why isn't there any help? Well, God's always been there. Maybe we just haven't looked at him right, or because we've ignored him until we want him. Too often, God just, we're going to put him, he's like that spare tire underneath your car. It's too small, so you keep it underneath the trunk, and you hope you never have to use it, but if you have to use it, you're glad it's there. That's too often how we treat God. He's just a spare tire, a backup, in case we need it. According to what they have done, so will he repay the wrath to his enemies. See, some of y'all may be of the mind that I'm going to get even. Anybody grow up that way? You'll get even. Well, God says, I'm going to get even. For those who've ignored and ignored and ignored and doesn't want to do it my way and wants to cause harm, he says God's wrath will be there. He will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord. You think people are afraid of God anymore? Generations past, and it's our generation, all of us in here, I assume, are 50 or close to it, if you admit it. In the past, God was told is absolute. He expects this out of you. He's the God in heaven, the God of fire and all these type of things. Nowadays, it's become, well, God's my friend. Jesus is my friend. And there's no respect or response to what he requires us to do. We've become buddy buddies. We're kumbaya people. Chuck.
As soon as you say Jesus is your friend, you put yourself on the same level as Jesus.
Well, it's better when he puts us on that level, though, isn't it? Yeah. But where's the respect? I mean, some of you have had positions in companies where you're a title. And you expect to be called doctor this, chairman this, general this. I mean, there's a title, but it's a respect of the position. I mean, would you ever think, seriously, now this, okay. Oh, and you may be the only one in here to remember. No, yeah, two of you. Do you ever think anybody would ever walk up to Storm and Norman Patton, or to Patton and say, how you doing there, Mr. P? I mean, think about that. Is that about as silly as you would? That going to happen. General Patton, sir. Yeah. Do you ever walk up to your school principal and call him by his first name or her by their first name? Not advisory. But that's what people want to do. They've gone joke.
We didn't even call our parents by their first name. It was mom and dad.
Is that unusual for some of y'all? Were you taught to call? First time I had to call the girls' father, mother. You see, the problem was, I was quite tongue-tied. The first time I ever called, and Max always ran and grabbed the phone. His name was Hellmuller. Try to be 16 years old and say the name, hello, Mr. Hellmuller. So I finally got to saying, is Becky home? It was just too hard to do under pressure. A lot of pressure at 16. Then he played jokes on you. Becky who? And that kind of stuff. But where is the respect? God demands the respect as the creator and owner of the world. And we've forgotten to do that. I don't think it's changed. When I taught elementary school, I called each of the children Mr. or Miss. That's what I just called them, Mr. or Miss. It was a lot easier. Si, you were a professor. Half a MoCo. It's on now. Yeah.
I refuse to watch it. Simply because that it seemed to me to elevate us to the level of God, or it put God in a subservient role or less role than it deserved. So
Can you remember back 30 or so years ago with George Burns and the show called, was that Oh God? Was that the show?
Yes.
Where he supposedly was on the earth and he was God. He'd walk around making wise cracks and quips. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. God friended me. God's going to use a cell phone. Of course, he'd hear, more people would hear him if he used a cell phone or Twitter or something like that. And our president has tweeted 13,800 Twitters by the yesterday morning. I don't know if I've talked 13,800 words in my life. But they say, you know, it's him because he can't spell any better than I do. Yeah, that didn't work. So he's demanding respect. And we're not good about getting it because the truth is, there's not a whole... Joseph, you're a cop. We're a cop. I would never... My brother was an officer. He's in uniform. I called him officer. And to give the respect due, even if it wasn't due to that one person, it was due to the position. God deserves the respect of the Creator. They got away from that.
And called names that I didn't know was out there.
Well, it's good if you didn't understand them, Joe. But a lot better, probably. And from the west, the men will fear the name of the Lord. Fear the name of the Lord. And from the east, from the rising of the sun, they will reveal His glory. If you've got fear of something, you must know something's on the other side. And that may not happen until the time of judgment. But they'll eventually know, the sinners did, the unrepentant did, the non-obeyers did, will know that they made a serious mistake. They miscalculated who they make fun of. And God, I will say this as I mean it. Don't draw anything into it. God is not half a name. Because half the time in public you hear God, there's a short name behind it. You know what I'm saying? Address behind it. I don't think you're going to like that too much either. Don't really. The Redeemer will come to Zion. Jesus, again. Here we go with the prophecy. The Redeemer, Jesus, the Christ, will come to Zion. Zion is the mountain, is the place where the temple is. It's the place where God sits between, at this period of time, sets between the angels on the Ark of the Covenant. Well, Jesus will come there. We know He will come there. First of all, He did some 700 years later when He was on earth and He came to the temple at least three times that we know. He cleansed it twice. Also, He will come to the temple when He comes to Zion, when He brings heaven down to earth. So the plan is there. And He will make it work His way. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Now, this is not Isaiah speaking. This is out of the Lord. I will make a deal, the Lord says, with the people. My spirit, who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of the descendants from this time forward and forever. God will not let the church die. Now there are times the church universal has been bruised, and the truth is, I hate to say this, but the truth is almost self-annihilated. Some of the things that happened after the 300s. Some of the things that happened in the Dark Ages. Some of the things that happened in the Middle Ages. Some of the things that happened, quote, the Enlightened Ages. Why did France's rebellion not work like ours did? It wasn't long afterwards. And there were a lot of Frenchmen involved and women involved in our rebellion. And it worked, and theirs didn't. The theory is because God was not with the French, they never came to Him. Where with the from George Washington on down, there were a lot of people. Thomas Paine was scheduled to go to the guillotine in a French prison, but he was feeling bad that day, and they took him to the doctor, and they came to pick him up to take him to the guillotine. And they was empty. They said, "Well, they've done hung him or killed him," and they let him go. And he wrote for us Common Sense because it was involving God. And the godless may benefit for a while. And we've seen that. Most of the people we know about are the godless. Go look at all your dictators around the world for the last 100 years. Not very nice people. A lot of power, a lot of control, but not godly. He says, arise and shine, for your light is come, in verse 1 of chapter 60. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears on you. 76 to 78 to 80 degrees. About 6:30 in the morning, about 4:30 in the afternoon. I can just stand there and look at the clouds and the sun breaking through or the sun setting for a lot of time. It's just peaceful and beautiful. God's glory is shining upon us. And all we're complaining about is we don't have any sunglasses. The sun's getting in our eyes. Or we start bringing that visor down in front of us when we're driving down 41 or 75. But there's some majesty out there. And it's for us. And when we don't see it, darkness will cover the earth. Darkness is over the peoples. If you listen to our missionary, 2 weeks ago? I don't know why I can't turn this off. But if somebody wants to talk to health insurance or anything like that, oh no, there's an Amber Alert. Goodness. I just now got it. Says, never mind, we got them. Nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assembly will come to you. Your sons will come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look at the radiant. Look and be radiant. Do you ever see anybody just seem to have a glow about them? Quite honestly, sometimes I think of grandmothers that way. They're all the crow's feet, that's history.
They always see what the say.
Yeah.
His grandmother, not you.
I put a fence around him, he still didn't do any good. You can tell when Irene is feeling better. Lift up your eyes and look about you. We spent too much time in the rabbit hole. We need to see the beauty. When you go to the rabbit hole, all you end up with is Alice and all them funny people taking the red pill and everything like that. You just miss so much. I think we sleep too much. I think we got to go to bed about midnight and get up about 3 in the morning and just have time to be involved in things. Huh? You just miss
her. She's fussing about the new time.
Irene wants to go back to old time. Because she's an old timer. Your sons are come afar. Your daughters are carried by arm, going to weddings and stuff like that. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. God sounds like Shakespeare writing a love poem. Your heart will throb. It will swell with joy. You're going to be happy what's going on. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. The riches of nations will come. This one here doesn't help me at all. Herds of camels will cover your land. I would think that would be bad, but evidently the camel is so important in that time that it's a benefit. In other words, wealth will come to you. And too often, we don't enjoy it. Because we're too busy wanting to do what we want to do. And all from Sheba will come. Remember the queen of Sheba and the reputation and Solomon and all? Bearing gold and incense and proclaiming praise to the Lord. All of Kidron's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams and the event. He just starts listing all the doves and a tremendous number of things that would be beneficial to them that we wouldn't think is so important, but it's important at that time. Foreigners, now the next whole section, I love this, talks about foreigners. Foreigners are going to rebuild your wall, going to rebuild your city. In other words, people will come and do the manual labor for Israel. Because God's blessed them so much. And they'll be benefiting. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold. Silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I'll bring you bronze. And iron in place of stones. I will make peace with your governors and righteous with your rulers. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Now, if you remember heaven, it talks about the walls. The 12 walls made out of the 12 great emeralds and diamonds and jewelry all over, the great precious stones. And the gates it talks about are the giant pearls. Great, huge, tall, giant pearls. So he talks about the walls and the gates will be a blessing to us. There'll be salvation for us. Anybody ever lived in a, some of you probably, you don't have to raise your hand, live in what we call a gated community. Got to know the passcode to get in, you got to know the passcode to get out, you know, that kind of stuff. And you feel protected because there's a wall between you and all the riffraff that lives outside. That's the way you look at it. They shut the gates down at 5 o'clock. Can't get in after that. And you feel protection.
They still have their ways of getting in.
You think?
I know.
They do. Let's say this. The Lord will be everything, everlasting light. Your days of sorrow will end. Your days of sorrow will end. Then will all your people be righteous. Now he's speaking of Israel, God's people. They're going to become righteous because the ones who are not righteous are gone. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, the display of my splendor. In verse 22, the last verse. The least of you will become a thousand. The smallest, a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and it's time I will do this swiftly. Look at a map of Israel sometime. And you'll see how surrounded this little bitty nation is by people who hate them, but can't break them down. God will keep his promises. Next week, the year of the Lord's favor. Start with verse 61. 61. Thank you much. Norm, start the clock.
Well, wait.
Oh, no.